Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The name of the message is Christ the Believer's Hope. Christ the Believer's Hope. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Scriptures here declare that Christ is our hope. Christ is the believer's hope. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Now, if we see something, then we don't hope for it, do we? I mentioned this before. If we see something, we don't hope for it. We believe in one who we've not seen, yet we trust our eternal souls to. He is our hope. He's the believer's hope. Look at this, Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. We are saved by hope in Christ. Christ died for my sin. We're saved by looking to Him, who is our hope. We saw in our text that we looked at to introduce the message. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's our hope. Think of this. When darkness and trouble come, and they do, whether it be in a health matter, a work matter, a family matter, how can we have hope? How can we have hope in any of those situations other than looking to Christ? Think of this. Remember before you were saved? We had no hope. Now, when a trial comes up or something comes up, who do we look to? Christ, who is our hope. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 8. And I'll read Romans 15:13, which says this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. How do we abound in hope? Only in Christ. Only in our King. In the fact that Christ has paid for all my sins. In the fact of Christ's active obedience while He was upon this earth for me, and that's just a theological term of Christ living before the law of God for the believer while He was here on earth. We are saved by His life, and we are saved by His death. And who's our hope? Christ. Only Christ. Look at Jeremiah 14:8. Oh, the hope of Israel. Who's the hope of Israel? Well, if Israel's the church there, then it's Christ, isn't it? But who's the hope of Israel, the nation, during these times of the writing of Jeremiah? It was our Lord. It's God, Jehovah, the great I Am, the same God who we rest in. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? And then Romans 15:13 says, Now the God of hope, the same. You see the pattern we're seeing here in Scripture? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. So, what is the Lord Jesus Christ for His people? He's our hope, isn't He? What are we without Christ? Hopeless. Helpless. Bankrupt. But oh, what a hope the believer in Christ has. And He supplies every grace. He supplies every help. Christ supplies every blessing. Why? Because it all abounds in Him, beloved. It all abounds in Him. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. He is an inexhaustible storehouse of spiritual treasures. The one in whom all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 says, are in. And it's inexhaustible. Now, we could sit here and go through the list of spiritual blessings alone. Justification, redemption, sanctification, wisdom. And it just goes on and on and on. But where are they all found? In our hope. In Christ, who is our hope. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. The believer is not lacking for anything for salvation of their souls in Christ. Nothing. And you know that it's decreed by God that we must go through much tribulation, right? To enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. And trials and troubles assault us from every side, don't they? They really do. I remember Scott Richardson saying, and I never really understood what he was saying until the Lord showed me grace. And he said, the Christian's either going into trouble, in trouble, or coming out of trouble. But we have a hope, don't we? Don't we? And the Lord, and this is, beloved, let us remember this too. This is what helps me. And I've mentioned this before. When I remember, when I look back, at all the things the Lord has taken me through. And how many mountains He's turned into nothing. It gives me hope. It gives me hope. No matter what I'm facing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, there's that word again, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we have a salvation that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now notice that. A lot of folks try to keep themselves, but look at that. Who are kept by the power of God. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't desire to live a holy life, or we shouldn't desire to do certain things. It's not saying that. But I'm kept by God. I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now here he's talking about temptations. Now it's hard. We go through things, don't we? Trials, temptations, tribulations. Look at this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom heaven not seen, look at this. Remember what we looked at in Romans? About we hope in him whom we've not seen? Right? Look at this. Whom heaven not seen, ye love. In whom though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your souls. So often the storms that God's people go through, and we go through storms in this life, they're fierce and they rage. And the winds howl. And the waves crash. And sometimes there seems to be no harbor. There seems to be no harbor in sight. And sometimes despair seeks to crush us. Sometimes we wonder, how can this be? And the Holy Spirit points us to Christ and says to our troubled souls, fear not. And the Lord says to the storm, be still. Fear not, for Christ is near, and the Lord is ready to lull each storm that rises in our lives and say, peace be still. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 34. Oh, you know, our walk, I'm starting to realize more and more that our walk through this world, as we go through life here, we're being stripped of all confidence in ourselves. For me anyways, I don't know if it's so for you, but for me it is. I'm being stripped of all confidence in myself and having Christ continuously be brought to the forefront and continuously learning that Christ is my rest. That Christ is my hope. I don't know if it's so for you, but it is for me. It is for me. And God has supplied all the believer's spiritual need in Christ. All. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Look at Psalm 34, verses 4 to 6. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. Now I could say this along with David, can you? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's when I look back at what the Lord's delivered me from, oh my. Now, do I still get stressed out and do I still get distressed when something comes up? Of course. Because I'm in this flesh. And this is me I'm talking about. This is how I am. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 10, though. And I love how God constantly reminds us that He'll take care of us. Y'all know I love birds. I love songbirds. I just love them. I could sit and listen to them and watch them In the wintertime, it's neat because they're foraging for food and they're scavenging around. And, you know, we put feeders out so they can eat and we watch them and they all come. And, you know, there's definitely a pecking order. The jay comes and everyone scatters, you know, and then the little guys come back again. I like the little ones. I like the little chickadees. I don't know why. Always have. You know that as I'm watching those birds and watching them, do you know that the Lord is providing for every single one of them? Now, would it help me to look at that and go, the Lord taking care of them sparrows, right? Oh, my. Right? Look at this. But I love watching these. They're precious little animals. And for me, it's a constant reminder of how God takes care of His creation, His people, providentially, watches over. And it's a reminder for me that He watches over me. Look at this, Matthew chapter 10. And I need this reminder all the time. I don't know if it's so with you, but I need it all the time. I need to be reminded all the time. Look at this, Matthew 10, 26 to 31. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But look at this. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. My goodness. Fear ye not, therefore. Look at this. And beloved, look at this, beloved, for we who are God's people. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are much more value than many sparrows. Now, sometimes the fear of death can bring great distress or weigh heavily upon one. Sometimes it may be circumstances in life. But let us seek the Lord in His strength. Let us pray for one another when we hear of one another going through things. Let us petition the throne of grace, that they or we might receive grace and strength in time of need. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah. And remember, beloved, that Christ, who is our hope, remember this, we who are saved, that Christ, who is our hope, is never far away. He is with us all the time. Look at Isaiah 43. He is with us all the time. Do you know that we are ever before Him? That His people are ever before Him? Look at this, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. Actually, turn over to Isaiah 49 first. I'm sorry. Isaiah 49, and then we'll go back to 43. I'm sorry. Look at this. We're ever before Him. What comfort this brings to God's people. Look at Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God will never forget His people. Why? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Oh my. Thy walls are continually before me. And then look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. So the hope that the believer has in Christ, it cheers our soul. Look at Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, verse 1 to 3. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have, look at the verbiage here, beloved. For I have, it's not a maybe. For I have redeemed thee. This is speaking of the church. I've redeemed thee. How? In Christ. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Now, we've seen flooding lately, right, and all that. We'll not be overwhelmed by the floods of this life. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sebia for thee. This is the believer's hope. This is the God of the Bible. Do you see how different he is than the God who wants to but can't? That's my hope. That's my stay. Christ. Oh. It makes our hearts sore when we contemplate what He has done for His people. Redeemed. Redeemed. But at what price? He gave Himself. He gave His life. He gave His blood to bear the curse of God, to endure all the punishment and all the misery and all the anguish which His people must have suffered. And He cried, "It is finished." That's my hope. Is it yours? Christ. Christ. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. So the believer's hope is set upon Christ. And the certainty of what God has promised shall come to pass. And think of this. In the certainty of what God has promised shall come to pass, right? Remember what we read in Isaiah. When them storms come, and they will. When the trials come, and they will. He has promised to never leave His people. Never. Look at Hebrews 6, verses 13 to 20. The certainty of what God has promised shall come to pass. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, and I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the what? Hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So our hope is Christ. Now what is an anchor to a floating vessel? What an anchor is to a floating vessel? Hope is to the soul. Hope is to the soul. The anchor descending from the ship grasps by firm teeth a solid footing. It clings to an immovable foundation. The ship cannot drift to rocks or quicksand. It cannot be torn away by tides or billows. It rests safely amidst storms and adverse waves. Brother John, you probably saw that in those big ships you were on. You drop that anchor, you're not moving, eh? And thus our hope holds fast to Christ who is in heaven within the veil and keeps the soul tranquil amid all the conflicts here upon the earth. He keeps us, we're anchored to the rock. Anchored to the rock who is Christ. Anchored to the rock, Christ, who is the believer's hope. The believer's hope. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, we who are here are saved, are so thankful that you have granted us faith to believe on Christ, who is now the anchor of our soul, the hope, the only hope we have amidst all circumstances, trials, tribulations, everything in life. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'd continue to give us faith and to rest and trust in you more and more. You must increase and we must decrease. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.